Vitus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the live recording of War Rocket Ajax. Does anybody know what our show is? Anybody? Okay, great. I'm Georgia Hardstark. This is Karen Kilgariff. We're about to talk about murder. Told you that would kill.
It was pretty good.
No, I'm Chris Sims. With me, as always, is Mr. Matt Wilson. Matt, how are you tonight?
Chris? I'm great. We traveled a long way to be here, and we could not be happier to be with all you fine people.
And dog. Literally the best audience we've ever had, because it's the only audience we've ever had with a dog.
Very big shout out to Linux the dog.
Very big shout out. Our show that we do usually is about comic books, nominally. Usually we have a guest, we interview the guest, we talk about things that are going on in our lives. It's very fun. We also play some games with each other. I guess that's the way to say it. Are they games? They're segments.
That sounds like we are tricking each other into increasingly elaborate death traps.
Yes. 10 years in at this point. Nine and a half.
You've never gotten me once.
Not once. We also present our listeners with exciting investment opportunities like Vaporblade LLC, the knife you can vape. We'll be talking to you about that after the show, possibly during the show as well.
There are big investment opportunities on the horizon. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love for you to fill out an investment card. But if you were wondering about that drink called the Vaporblade, that is our podcast's signature drink. This is a joke we came up with at
the last live show that had four people in the audience.
That's right. The last live show we did.
No dog.
At Oak City Comic Con in Raleigh, North Carolina, where we just talked about this very stupid idea for a knife that is also a vape rig.
Stupid or genius, though?
The stupidest kind of genius.
The most genius kind of stupid.
You got it. Nailed it.
The Vaporblade.
It has spiraled into a thing where we have made a t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
That will be available to our Patreon supporters in the near future.
Patreon.com/WarRocketAjax.
Also, this is a very important Vaporblade LLC trademark and copyright War Rocket Ajax. Do not steal.
Do not steal. It is original. It is do not steal. You are in DNST. That's do not steal territory.
By virtue of attending...
You are legally agreeing.
You have signed a non-disclosure agreement by attending or listening to this podcast.
Which is weird, because you wouldn't think a non-disclosure agreement would apply to something that we wanted people to listen to and that we were distributing.
I am not an attorney. And I'm doing this right. Okay, so Chris talked about the games that we play on the show, or the segments that we do where we list things. We have done a number of these.
Mm-hmm.
We started with something called Every Story Ever, which is a segment where that has been going on for 5 years?
I was trying to remember earlier. I think it's coming on 5 years now.
5 years where our listeners have sent us lists of comic book stories, and we have assembled those into a huge list of...
Definitive. Inarguable,
yeah.
List. Master
of
list.
Of approaching now 800 stories ranked from best to worst. It is a compendium non-pareil.
And these are not decisions we are making. We are merely the arbiters. We are chipping away the marble of the sculpture that is already there, Michelangelo style. Artist, not turtle.
Other such segments that we have done have included one called The Word Heavyweight Champions, where we ranked quotes from comic books. That one only lasted a year.
That one only lasted a year.
It wasn't great.
It, It was fine. It was fun.
We are now in the process of, well into year three, of doing a segment called Panel President.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
From the President's office in the White House.
President. Panel President.
You can hear the cheer coming.
Now what is the Panel President list?
Panel President. We take some listener-submitted lists and place those characters on a huge, ever-expanding master list from best to worst. We elect the best characters and we impeach the worst characters. Panel President.
Which involves ranking every comic character from best to worst.
Yes.
Chris.
Yes.
Please inform everyone in attendance mm-hmm. and our listeners mm-hmm. of how many characters are currently on that list.
We are looking at on the Panel President Master list, which you can access. It is a Google Doc that you can access by going to warrockandajax.com. We have 338 characters on this list.
338 characters have been ranked. We are going to be spending this time right now, as we are doing our live show, adding some characters to that list. We have curated some lists sent in by our listeners to rank them here on the show because we wanted to rank the best, most identifiable characters that have been submitted to us and that are left that we have not yet ranked. Because we've ranked a lot of the big ones.
We've ranked Batman. We've ranked Spider-Man.
Yes.
We have ranked Scrooge McDuck.
All the big boys.
All the big ones.
They have been ranked, so we picked some other recognizable characters for this particular event. Because, I'll be honest, I'm going to get up on the mic because I'm being honest.
Getting real?
Chris, can I be real?
I wish you would.
Sometimes we get this stuff, and we're like, who? Who is that? And then we look them up in the Marvel or DC database. And then we talk about what we read.
We have to refresh our memories.
Yeah. They're rarely characters we haven't heard of, but sometimes if we haven't heard of them and we haven't read their stories, we disqualify them from ranking.
Yes. The bit is this. I don't see the lists. Matt has them. I go into it completely cold. I think it's very impressive that we have ranked 800 comic book stories that I did not know beforehand we were going to rank.
And between us, we have read all of those. Because yes. We have disqualified quite a number of stories that we just flat out have not read before.
So just to let you know where we stand with these characters, number one on the list has been number one on the list for quite some time. That is Peter Parker, the Amazing Spectacular Adjectiveless Spider-Man.
Peter Parker. Sensational.
Sensational. Unlimited.
He's definitely unlimited, boy.
No limits. He's a true no-limit soldier.
Yeah.
It's Peter Parker and Master P. Those are the two. And then it continues down from there to some characters we don't want to talk about at the bottom.
Who were submitted by Luke Hare, who is present right now. Luke, we want to tell you in person, you biffed it.
You biffed it.
You biffed it, sending us these terrible characters that are at the bottom of the list.
This was you with the ball. That was a visual joke. I dropped the ball.
He did a dropping motion. One other thing we should note before we get into this, and this is for the podcast listeners, maybe more than the live audience, but most of the time when we do these listing segments, we take lists from our Patreon supporters, notably who have reached a level of Patreon support where they can step the line, where their list can be read before everybody else's. Because we wanted to curate our list for that episode, for the first time since we started doing line stepping, we are not taking line steppers first. Instead, we curated lists from as far back as when we were first accepting these submissions in like 2016
mm-hmm.
to make sure that we had the right mix of characters for this particular live show. So if you are a line stepper and you're not hearing your list on this episode, it's because we're making an exception for this episode and we will go back to line stepping the next time we do a Panel President segment.
And honestly, you can give us that. You can give us that one.
Look, I'm just trying to head off the emails, my man.
Yeah. I don't get them.
I know you don't.
You get them. Email away. Complain all you want. Don't, though.
All right, Chris, are you ready to rank some comic book characters?
I'm ready. I have the master list pulled up in the almost uniformly terrible Google Docs mobile app so that I can edit it live while we are here.
All right.
Cancel. Okay.
Are you doing okay?
I'm doing good.
We are going to start now.
Okay.
With this list from listener Quentin Black. Quentin, one of the co-hosts of the Rank and Vile podcast.
Another ranking heavy podcast about horror movies.
Yes.
That we've both been guests on.
Without tooting our own horn too much, a number of ranking podcasts have emerged from War Rocket Ajax.
I know of at least four.
That's a number. You can't say I lied.
I did not lie.
A number.
I was agreeing with you. I think four is a not inconsiderable amount.
Listen,
a number.
Listen, as not an attorney, I have to parse all the words.
That's true.
All right, here's the list from Quentin Black. I had to disqualify one because we've already ranked them, so I have just pared this down to the two that we had not yet ranked from Quentin's list.
Okay.
The first one is...
People love preamble.
Boy.
Can we delay getting to the segment any longer, do you think? Because I feel like the tension is building in this room.
Chris, as not an attorney. All right, here we go. The first one on Quentin's list is the Ninja Turtle, who is teenage.
Mm-hmm.
Donatello.
It's weird that you said everything but mutant, which is arguably the most important thing. That he is like 5'6" and can talk.
Do you think those turtles are 5'6"?
I'm going... Okay, they're slightly taller than Ernie Reese Jr. I think I'm 5.5 feet.
Specifically here, we are ranking the comic book versions of these characters. We are not ranking the movie versions. We are not ranking the versions from the television cartoons, which I think is important to note
that
for Donatello.
For Donatello.
Because comics Donatello
is dope,
is not the same as TV cartoon Donatello.
That is true. There was also a little bit of conflict on this side of the table over certain discussions of certain teenage Ninja Turtles, mutant or otherwise, apparently. I prefer Michelangelo. Matt is wrong. But we left this one to the whims of fate, and I lost the coin toss. So when we ranked Michelangelo and Raphael.
Who were presented to us on the same list.
Who were on the same list.
Really? Okay. To anyone who can't see us right now, I am talking on a microphone with a yellow mic cover. You are talking on a microphone with an orange mic cover.
Right.
I should definitely have that red
have
mic
red.
Cover over there, because I am cool. But rude.
Give me a break. It's like the song on the show. The song.
All right, please continue.
Yeah, so we currently have... I am not able... Okay, we have Raphael is at number 99 on this list. Michelangelo is at number 101. Between them, we have Ninjak, who is if Batman was James Bond, but also a ninja.
Also, the K on the end of his name... is not a K for no reason. He is Ninja K.
He's the 11th ninja employed by the British government to do ninja work.
The ninja who came before him was Ninja J. Ninjaj.
He's great.
The one that was after him? Ninja L.
Ninjal. Yes. So here's the thing. We've kept the turtles pretty grouped so far in the two we've got. They were originally, we split them with Ninjak.
Yeah.
So they were originally right next to each other.
Yeah.
Are we in agreement that Leo is coming in last?
Of the four. Probably. I when I was a kid, Leo was my favorite because he was the leader and because he wore blue and because he had swords. But
these are all valid reasons.
All valid reasons. But because of his personality... And because he's not the cool guy.
He's not the cool guy.
He's not the rude guy.
He's not the rude guy.
And he's not...
Does does bullshit with machines.
And he's not the smart guy.
Did not ask in advance.
Well, boy, you done it.
They serve liquor here, so I'm thinking it's okay.
He's not the smart guy, even though, again, Donatello in the comics is not the smart guy in the way that Donatello in the cartoon is. Donatello in the cartoon is making Jack Kirby machines.
That make coffee.
That make coffee.
And he's weirdly making stuff out of sewer stuff. They have a blimp. And I have thought about this blimp literally every day since 1987. I do not understand where they put the blimp when they're not using it. They live underground. They access their home through holes this big. Where does that blimp go?
Also, when they fly the blimp, how is that not showing up on radar? How is the FAA not on top of them? How are fighter jets not approaching that blimp all the time?
Not even knowing it's staffed by teenage ninjas of indeterminate genetic makeup.
Who are also turtles.
Who are also turtles.
Yeah. All right. But these are... We're getting off the point of Donatello.
He is the smart one, and he is the scientist.
He's also kind of the peacemaker?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
Well, Mikey's kind of the peacemaker, too.
But Donatello is kind of the... He's not the
cool
one.
Call him Mikey, because, like, kind of, like, bros in up here.
If I can make a very fine distinction.
Yes.
He's not the cool one. He's the chill one.
He is the chill one. That is true.
Yeah.
Raph's a hothead.
Raph is definitely a hothead.
Temper.
Yeah.
Lone wolf.
If the butting of heads occurs between Raph and Leonardo.
Yes.
Michelangelo's just here to hang. He's here to hang and eat pizza. And Donatello wants everybody to get along.
Donatello wants everybody to get along because that's how you do ninja work.
Yeah.
The work of a ninja.
And somebody at... The production company that made the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, which is largely based on the first arc of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comics, it is beat for beat that arc, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Somebody thought Donatello was cool enough or good enough to put the only named star in the movie and make him Donatello's voice.
That's right. You can hit the Corey Feldman siren because we're talking about Corey Feldman. Corey Feldman.
That's the siren.
That's the siren.
So
it's the drop. So that you can sample. Vaporblade, TM, copyright, Warrock and Ajax, Chris and Matt, LLC.
Skrillex, use that Corey Feldman siren all you want.
Do the Corey Feldman drop whenever, wherever. Like Shakira. Do we think he goes with Mikey and Raph, they're the best ones. They're the best ones.
They're the ones you like. They're the ones you're supposed to like.
Yes.
Donnie has a pretty thankless task.
Okay, here's where I'm looking, because this is the template for Donatello is at that's actually much higher. Never mind. Please continue with what you were saying.
Well, I was just saying Donnie has a bit of a thankless job in that he has to be the peacemaker. Usually the peacemaker is not the person you like.
Right.
But without them, the team falls apart. The band breaks up.
Exactly. Exactly.
He's the bass player.
He puts the line down.
He puts the line down. He sets the rhythm and the tone. Without him, there's no sound. There's like nothing gels. But nobody's like, I love that bass player. Because you just have to.
Unless it's Lemmy.
Unless it's Lemmy.
In which case.
Or the singular Bonnie Raitt. But, like, most of the time you're not like, my favorite member of the band's a bass player, because you almost don't even notice that they're there, because there's such a baseline of making sure that everything works.
Mm-hmm. So where are we looking on this list, Matt?
I mean, you're looking at the list.
I'm looking at the list. I think, okay, here's the floor. 148 is Iron Fist.
Okay.
I think he's better than Iron Fist.
He's definitely better than Iron Fist.
Better than Iron Fist. But I think the ceiling is probably number 126. That's Tommy Arashikage, a.k.a. Storm Shadow, Snake Eyes' sword brother from G.I. Joe.
Storm Shadow's pretty great.
Storm Shadow's pretty great. Remember that time that he put Snake Eyes in the death trance? And told him to go forth as a killing wraith?
It's good. It's good. So here's who's below Storm Shadow. Tommy Arashikage. Groot, who I think is probably better than Donatello.
Certainly in the latter half of his comics lifespan, yes.
Certainly post-movies when the comics characters adapted to the movie version.
Well, he was that before.
He was that before. Was. But,
the movie-style Groot we have now.
I think, though, we can put Donatello above the next one on the list. Paul Crocker, the boss from the comic Queen and Country.
Who's very good.
Who's a very good character, but does play a very narrow and specific role in Queen and Country.
So I think we're in agreement. Number 128 on the list, Donatello the Ninja Turtle. Done.
Seal it. Let me notarize it.
You're not a liar.
You got me there. Next on Quentin's list is what I think might be a tough one.
Okay.
Edward. Nigma. The Riddler.
The Riddler fucking rules.
The Riddler does rule, but he rules with a butt. We had near water spitting right there. The butt of the Riddler is that even though the Riddler is the most amazing villain concept,
mm-hmm.
He is nearly impossible to write a great story with. Great Riddler stories are so, so rare.
But what's the best Riddler story, Matt?
I'd say the best...
All time.
You tell me what the best all-time
Riddler story is. Best Riddler story is the one where he gets possessed by the demon that Thomas Jefferson summons underneath Gotham City in 1776. That's Dark Knight, Dark City. It was written by Peter Milligan. It's got Mike Mignola covers. It rules.
Dark Knight, Dark City is good. There are a few good
That's
recent...
That's where Riddler does devil shit to Batman.
There are a few good recent Riddler stories. Zero Year's great.
Zero Year's is great.
Good recent Riddler story that actually involves him asking riddles.
Yes.
Which got shunted away from Riddler over time, where they tried to make Riddler a badass.
Not to name drop. I've spoken to Scott Snyder, Batman writer, for quite some time.
Yeah.
And he has told me the Riddler's great, except for writing the riddles.
I'm sure it's hard.
Yeah.
But that's why it's so hard to write a great Riddler story, because you have to come up with a bunch of riddles.
You got
to
write a smart guy who's not too smart to not get outwit by Batman.
There's also a gimmick to the Riddler that's so hard to get, because his gimmick isn't that he wants to kill Batman, per se.
No, he just wants to show he's smarter.
He just wants to beat him.
And sometimes he's possessed by a demon.
Yes, that's true. But he just wants to beat him in a game of wits.
Yes.
Batman is his most worthy opponent.
Yeah, which is also great because the Riddler can't exist without Batman. And he's... What is Batman? What is he? What is he?
He's the world's greatest
detective. The world's greatest detective needs the world's greatest mystery to solve. The Riddler gives him the mystery.
He constructs the...
But the mystery is divorced from any context beyond being a mystery. It's pure mystery.
In a world where escape rooms exist, he's that weirdo that builds the escape room.
He's the weirdo who builds the escape rooms.
But Batman is an unwilling participant in the escape room.
Riddler-themed escape room that we could go to right now?
It should exist. Somebody make it happen. But, like, Batman didn't show up at his office party to be in part of this escape room.
Right.
He is forced into these escape rooms.
Right.
And he often cheats to win.
Of course he cheats.
According to the Riddler's rules. Yeah. But, like, so many Riddler stories are bad because... They don't work in that context.
Mm-hmm.
And Here's another great Riddler story is the ongoing Riddler story in the Paul Dini run of Detective Comics, where he gives up being a criminal and he becomes a private eye.
Yes.
And he's competing with Batman in a different way.
Yes.
That doesn't involve him being a villain. He's a professional rival.
Yes.
Of Batman's.
But he always gets it wrong. He always falls for the red herring, which is brilliant because he's not as smart as Batman.
And
oh, I love him.
We never do this on the regular show, but I'm going to do it here. If you like this story, I apologize, but I'm going to rip on a story right now. It's a big part of why Hush sucks.
Because he doesn't tell anybody.
The Riddler doesn't act like the Riddler in
it. He figures out who Batman is, and then Batman's like, oh, but you won't tell anybody because then people will know the secret, and the secret's worthless. Riddler didn't give a shit about secrets. His name isn't the Secreter.
But also, it's stupid that his plan, that you didn't know that it was a Riddler's plan from the beginning. Because the Riddler wants you to know he did it.
He wants you to know he did it. He wants you to know that he knows. He's not going to keep a secret when that secret means he's smarter than Batman. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
So, the Riddler does rule.
Yes.
With the caveat that he's so, so, so hard to write.
I'm going to tell you where I'm setting the floor. Number 30, Donald Duck.
I can get with that.
The Riddler is better than Donald Duck.
I can totally get with that. Weirdly comparable characters.
Yes, very. Here's where I'm going to set the ceiling. Number 19, Lex Luthor.
Not better than Lex Luthor.
I don't think he's better than Lex Luthor. Because Luthor's a very similar character.
He has similar motivations.
With similar motivations.
Yeah.
That I think is generally...
He wants to... Luthor is slightly different in that he sees a more macro view as opposed to the Riddler's micro view. Luther's view is, I want to prove that mankind is better than this alien.
But also specifically him.
Yeah, specifically him. But he, as a representative of mankind, wants to beat this alien Superman.
Right.
Whereas with Riddler, it's not about a bigger picture. It's mm-hmm. just, I want to be smarter than Batman.
So, right now, probably, is going to shock you if you've never heard us rank these characters before. 27 is Wonder Woman.
Yes.
I don't think we put the Riddler above Wonder Woman.
I don't either.
Which means he goes... We've got, in the 28 to 30 range, we have Storm at number 28. That's Aurora Monroe of the X-Men. 29, we got Lucky Jim Howlett.
Wolverine.
A.K.A. Wolverine. A.K.A. Logan.
Yes.
A.K.A. Patch.
Yep.
A.K.A. Old Man Logan. When he's the old man.
That's him.
A.K.A. Weapon X.
That's the guy.
He's got a lot of names. Is the Riddler better than Wolverine?
Probably no. As a character, Wolverine is far more versatile than the Riddler.
Then he goes at number 30, right above Donald Duck.
So be it.
Which puts him above Commissioner Gordon. Respectable. The Riddler. Isn't this exciting? To watch me type this?
Our next list comes from listener Liam Shepard.
Thank you, Liam.
And this is a list. I don't know if Liam gave us a theme for this one, but my theme for it is crowd pleasers. Animal crowd pleasers. Because it starts with Rocket Raccoon.
I love that guy.
It's great.
He comes from Cartoon World. They never mention in the movies that he's from a planet that is basically Sonic the Hedgehog.
They definitely don't
mention that.
What if Guardians 3...
Where he fights
3,
clowns.
What if... Chris, let me pose to you a buck-wild idea.
Okay.
This idea is that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is...
Is?
A Sonic movie.
That would be great.
Good. All right. So, the thing about Rocket is... Chris, you know that I love a particular type of character.
You do.
That character is what I've described as the ineffectual scoundrel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really just kind of the scumbag who has to do the right thing sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll never not be a scumbag.
Mm-hmm.
That's Rocket.
It is now, certainly now.
Yeah.
And I should say I've written Rocket.
Yeah.
Professionally a couple times. He's fun.
Can I mark down this time? Because this is where Chris brags.
Oh my God.
All right.
He's fun to write. That's all I'm saying. Except the space. I'm not a fan of the space cussing, but he does space cussing a lot. Certainly now, I think it's not that he's a scumbag, it's that he's put upon.
He's definitely put upon.
Because he's a super intelligent raccoon from space.
That's right.
Which makes him very frustrated with the world around him, as you would be.
Well, and I mean, a big part of that is everyone he interacts with looks down on him.
Quite literally.
He's very short. But they also don't see his full potential, or they don't expect a lot from
him. It's very much like a Taylor Swift song.
You're right. But he looks like an Earth raccoon. Everybody keeps saying he looks like an Earth raccoon. The title of the comic, what we just referred to him as, includes that word.
Yes.
Even though he doesn't want to be called that.
Yes. And now, weirdly enough, even though we have gotten to the point where he's in a movie that's going to make $1 billion as
possibly
a talking raccoon, they only call him Rocket.
That's true.
Which is even weirder.
Sure.
Who named him that?
I don't know. That's just his name.
It's just his name.
But because he looks like an animal,
mm-hmm,
nobody ever expects very much from him.
Where do you put him in relation to another animal that is always put upon and angry?
Donald Duck?
Donald Duck, number 30.
Again, comparable. I feel like they, like Donald and Rocket, certainly have certain similar personalities.
Here's what I got to ask you, Matt. I think I figured out who we need to compare him to. I just need to find what number he is on this list. He's everyone's favorite cat.
Talking about Garfield?
I'm talking about Garfield the cat, who's on this list somewhere. I keep scrolling down.
Higher than you would think.
Higher than you would think, for sure. With Google Apps.
Rocket's better than Garfield.
You think Rocket's better than Garfield?
Rocket's definitely better than Garfield.
He's more complex.
Yeah.
We could be at Paws Inc. tomorrow morning if we left now. We're from North Carolina, so it's been a while since I've been this close to Jim Davis territory. Or Tom Baddock territory up in Toledo.
That's true. I was going to say, when you said Jim Davis territory, I was about to jump in with one of our funny, probably annoying abbreviations. And
JDT?
Say, the JDT?
Yeah, JDT.
Just wanted to make that clear.
Okay. Garfield's at 172.
Okay.
He's just above Peter Venkman from the Ghostbusters.
He lives in the middle of the list.
He lives there.
It's where he lives.
John Arbuckle's way low.
We hate John.
We're not here to talk about that today. Where does Rocket go? I don't think he goes as high as Donald Duck for sure. Is he top 100 material? Which 100 right now is Raphael, the Ninja Turtle?
Rocket is also weirdly comparable to Raphael.
He's the Raphael of the Guardians.
Yeah. I would put him in that area, in that neighborhood. If you don't want to put him above Michelangelo, I get it.
Well, right below Michelangelo, we have Rembrandt Etienne Lebeau, a.k.a. Gambit.
Okay.
Of the Thieves Guild.
Of the Thieves Guild. But
of Nolans.
You love Gambit.
I do love Gambit.
So very much. So I'm
very
gonna
much.
I'm going to let you make that call.
I don't think... Okay. 104 is Green Arrow. We can absolutely say that Rocket's better than Green Arrow.
Sure.
Green Arrow's not any kind of animal.
He's got a goatee beard. But that's about it.
So I'm gonna say,
I think that's called a goatee, in fact.
It is, in fact, goatee. You got it.
Yeah.
You got it, buddy. 104 on the list is going to be Rocket Raccoon, a Bill Mantlo, Mike Mignola creation.
Next on Liam's list,
mm-hmm,
another duck. So, weirdly, Donald has come up a bunch in this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now we have Howard the Duck.
Now, are we operating under the assumption that the Howard the Duck we have now in the recent Howard the Duck Marvel comics?
Yeah.
Which there are recent Howard the Duck Marvel comics, if you did not know that. They're very good. They're all... They're surprisingly, a lot of page count is devoted to how he can't text because he's got feathers. So all his text messages are bad.
Did Chip write that?
Chip wrote that, yeah.
Chip Zdarsky, who is very good.
Are we assuming that is the same Howard as the original Howard, the Steve Gerber Howard?
Yeah, it's all the same guy.
Even though Steve Gerber did the story for another publisher where he went into the Marvel Universe and switched Howard out for a fake Howard. Because comics are weird.
Comics are weird, and Steve Gerber had a lot of anger to get out.
He did have a lot of anger. That's in Destroyer Duck, another Duck comic. The 80s were weird.
I would say pretty unabashedly, it is all the same Howard.
You're not a lawyer, but I think legally speaking, we do have to confirm that it's the same Howard.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, he's great.
He is.
He's trapped in a world he never made.
The wildest tagline in comics.
No one is trapped in a world they made.
Yeah, we didn't make this world.
Or did we?
And technically, we're trapped.
We all are.
Yeah.
Only one way out. Sorry to get dark, everybody. Oof. So Howard the Duck's great. He fought a vampire cow. That gets him points. Hell cow. That was a cow that was bitten by Dracula. Because Dracula wanted some blood, but there were no people around. There was a cow. Now there is a vampire cow in the Marvel Universe. I love comic books.
Comic books are quite the thing.
So, we've got ducks on the list. Donald's at 30, as we've gone through before. Uncle Scrooge is at number 5, because he's great. I don't know that Howard beats them. He's clearly a parody of Donald.
He is a parody of Donald, but he is also very much his own thing.
He becomes a very different character. About the time he runs for president...
By the time he's chomping on cigars, Howard is a different character.
He doesn't do that anymore.
I know he doesn't do it anymore, but he did.
He did.
We can't deny that he did. Kids don't smoke, but Howard did chomp on cigars.
Howard did chomp on cigars.
Instead of smoking, harmless vapor. Vapor Blade LLC. Had to get in that plug.
The only true home. So, I think a close, like a close analog for Howard is going to be Deadpool, who's at number 74. But I think Deadpool's better.
Yeah, I think Deadpool edges him because, for better or worse, I think Howard has an unshakable reputation as an old character.
Weirdly, yeah. He's very tied to the 70s.
Very tied to the 70s.
Very tied to that specific kind of weird 70s Marvel comic.
Yeah, because those comics...
When there were two Space Jesuses.
You know it. It's because those comics were very timely. Those Steve Gerber, Howard the Duck comics were timely.
Yes.
And Steve Gerber, even after doing Destroyer Duck, came back to Howard the Duck again.
Howard, yeah.
Before he died.
Yes.
And so he had ownership of Howard up until his death, essentially. Which meant that even though that's great, because one creator got to be the voice of Howard the Duck, in some ways Howard didn't evolve and progress in the way that characters do when new creators take them on. And
really until Chip.
Really until Chip.
Really until Chip. I have picked out the spot, and I know I'm the one looking at the list, so Matt, if you feel like I'm steamrolling you, I apologize.
I took a look at the list now because I wanted to search it, but as you said, the Google Docs app is the dirt worst, and I cannot search
the
document.
We are addressing this directly to the person in the crowd who said he was a computer science student,
yeah.
who owns the dog. This is the work you need to do.
Call up Sergey and the other...
Make these apps not be bad.
Call up Sergey and the other guy from Google. You know his name. And tell him, make it work.
Them Goog boys.
Them Goog
them
boys.
Them franchise boys. The franchise of Google. Here's where I'm looking. At number 113, we have George Tarleton, who you might know as MODOK, the mental organism designed only for killing. Howard's not that good. He's a floating head who zaps people with his brain because he was designed only for killing. It's the only thing he's supposed to do.
He was a stupid idiot janitor.
He was a stupid idiot janitor who got turned into a giant head in a flying rocket chair. And if you see him doing anything but killing, that's not what he's designed to do. That is voiding the warranty on MODOK. At number 114...
I got to make a disclaimer real quick.
Yeah.
As an attorney, which I'm not, I want to make it more than clear that I don't think all janitors are stupid idiots. It just...
It is canon that George Tarleton was
George
not
Tarleton
right.
just happened to be a janitor, and he also happened to be a very stupid idiot.
Yes. At number 114, we have Chris Summers. That's Corsair. That's Cyclops' dad, who's a spaceman, who's like Han Solo with like a handlebar mustache.
And a scarf.
And a scarf.
Yeah.
And a spaceship, and a girlfriend who's a skunk.
That dude's cool.
For certain values of cool.
For certain values of cool.
I think Howard's better than Corsair.
Okay.
He's better than Cyclops' weird old dad who's been having a midlife crisis in space since 1974.
All right. We talked about Howard being a character who is kind of stuck in the time.
Mm-hmm.
Corsair is also kind of that.
Corsair should have winked out of existence on December 31st, 1979.
Yeah. So I think Howard is more versatile than Corsair. Therefore, yes, between Corsair and MODOK goes Howard the Duck.
Entering the list number 114. You can see why this takes us a while.
I'm in the middle of a podcast, so I couldn't answer the question that just popped up as I was closing the Drive app that said, enjoying Drive? ? So I would be like, no, I can't search it. Sergey. And the other guy. The final character here on Liam's list, mm-hmm. Chris, is mm-hmm. Detective Chimp.
Earlier we said something about Batman, that he is the world's greatest detective. Canonically, textually, explicitly in Detective Comics, Comics Incorporated comic books, that is not true. He is the world's greatest human detective.
That's right.
And Detective Chimp has claimed, canonically, the title of World's Greatest Detective.
Bobo T. Chimpanzee.
That is his name.
He got that title unlocked.
He's... The hat's bad.
His Sherlock Holmes hat?
His Sherlock Holmes hat, his Deerstalker, is bad. I feel like we've gotten past that as a society where we needed a hat clue to know that Detective Chimp is a detective. We did not need a haberdashery signifier on that bad boy.
He has several elements about him that make it obvious he's a detective. He has a magnifying glass.
His name is Detective Chimp.
He has
which is the two things he is.
He doesn't have a trench coat, but he's got like a tweed jacket.
He does wear a jacket.
Yeah.
He you know who he dresses like? Ellery Queen.
Yeah.
Deep cut. I've solved the mystery. Have you? I'm the only one to like that one. That's fine. Detective Chimp's good. Because I do love that there is a chimpanzee running around the DC universe, which is very, as we all know, very serious. Batman. Oh, it's so serious. Oh, it's dark. There's a monkey that solves crimes. Sometimes he hangs out with a witch and a guy who was a movie stuntman who built a demon costume that then got turned into a real demon when he made a deal with the devil using a candle in 1996. And a dude who's like a concept album guy. How would you describe Nightmaster? He goes to a world where Renfairs are real.
Yep.
And then he gets a sword.
That is right.
Done. That's his team. That's Detective Chimp's team. That's his guys. Because he doesn't hang out with the other animals. He doesn't hang out with, like, Rex the Wonder Dog.
He has.
He has.
I mean, he has been part of the Bureau of Amplified Animals. But for the most part, he is his own deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should note that Detective Chimp has a number of different origins.
Several origins. Each more serious than the last.
It's true. Like, he has an origin where he's just a chimp who got really smart.
Mm-hmm.
He worked hard.
Self-made man. Self-made chimp.
There's another origin where a hyper-intelligent microscopic species, he goes from being... His brain becomes implanted with them, and he gains their intelligence.
He also drank from the Fountain of Youth.
Which
weirdly makes you a good detective. You wouldn't think that's not called the Fountain of Detection.
The current origin story for Detective Chimp is that he was captured by a circus. And in the midst of being in the circus...
Oh, that's right.
Where he went to Florida and he drank from the Fountain of Youth... That made him super smart and thus a human-level intelligent chimp who then joined Mensa.
He was motivated to do this when he witnessed a murder. So he saw a crime.
Yeah.
And was like, I gotta do something about this.
As a
chimpanzee.
Yeah, intelligence chimp.
It's a lot like the movie Rampage.
We are not gonna discuss the movie Rampage.
We watched the movie Rampage today. It's really bad.
Listen to our Movie Fighters episode about that.
We do several other podcasts.
We do. We do.
If you don't like this, you will not like those.
But we did. Yeah, it's sort of like the movie Rampage.
Here's where I'm looking. At number 186 on the list, we have Luornu Dugo, Triplicate Girl.
Right, right.
Her power is that she's three girls, three young women.
That's right.
Is it better to be three things or two things if those three things are the same thing? Not putting any value judgment on what the things are. Is it better to be three things that are the same or two things that are different? Batman is a man and a bat. Actually, I guess Man-Bat's a man and a bat, and he sucks.
I feel like you're presenting me with a false premise.
Okay, all right. Well, because right above Triplicate Girl is Harley Quinn, and I don't think Detective Chimp is as good as Harley Quinn.
I think you're right about that. I think Triplicate
Clary
Girl...
Clary and the Witch Boy is a witch and a boy.
I don't know why you're going down this trail of being like, well,
there's,
this is...
There's
this
so
is,
many people that are two things. He's a detective. His name's Detective Chimp. He's a detective and a chimp.
If this is our criteria, we should stop doing this. Is being a detective who's a chimp cooler than being a witch who's a boy? That's what we should be asking. I would say
that's
yes.
That's basically what I was asking.
No,
I feel
you
like.
Were saying, is it cooler to be two things than this other number of things? That's just
three things that are the same thing or two things that are different things.
Chris, that's just quantity.
Do you want a hamburger and french fries?
Yes.
Or three chicken tenders?
I'll take them all, baby.
So you want someone that's five things and three of those things
no,
are the same thing?
No, okay. If I had to choose between a meal of a hamburger and french fries and three chicken tenders with no sides, I'm taking the hamburger and french fries because I like variety.
Two things that are different.
Can we not have this debate and just say whether Detective Chimp is cooler than Cleary and the Witch Boy, which I think is yes.
Cleary and the Witch Boy has a cat, though. He's got Teakle.
So he's three things?
If you count cat owner as a separate thing, yes.
Period of silence where we are unable to breathe up here.
Where we are witnessing live in front of people the collapse of the very premise of our show.
Because we're laughing at our own very stupid bullshit.
Okay, right above Clarion is Hank Pym. Who's several things?
Detective Chimp is better than Hank Pym. Hank Pym is broken. We were talking about this the other night. Hank Pym is broken.
Hank Pym's broken. They broke him.
Detective Chimp is anything but broken. I want him showing up in more stuff.
They keep trying to fix him, though. They keep giving them different origins.
Well, they don't need to.
But right above, okay, right above Hank Pym is Andromeda. Right above Andromeda is Triplicate Girl. We're right back where we started.
I would say Triplicate Girl is better. Because Detective Chimp's always going to be overshadowed, right? He's always going to be overshadowed by Batman, weirdly. Because even though Batman is the world's greatest human detective...
They're not going to put that on the cover of the comics.
They're never going to do that.
They should put out Detective Chimp comics that say the world's greatest detective. But they're not going to take a shot at their own company.
Detective Chimp has been silenced. And I don't like it.
So you're saying... between Triplicate Girl and Andromeda, who is a fake Supergirl from the future.
Yeah.
Okay. 187. 187, Snoop Dogg style, on the list.
Blap, blap. I think we can do one more list, and then we're probably out of time.
I cannot tell if anyone's signaling us that we need to stop, so it will continue. Thank you for being here with us.
The
list will continue until morale improves.
You did it.
Thank you.
Next, we have a list from Nick Hall.
We'll do this one quick.
Oh, we got time to talk about him.
Okay, then we won't.
We haven't gone an hour yet. This is just two characters on Nick's list. First is Dennis Dunphy, Demolition Man, D-Man.
Quick show of hands, who knows who D-Man is? Yeah. Okay. If you don't know who D-Man is, for the rest of you, he's a homeless pro wrestler who's friends with Captain America. Yes? That sums up things.
Who wears a costume that is Daredevil's old costume?
Daredevil's old costume and Wolverine's mask.
Yes. Yes. He's
a groony.
The premise is he's a dumpster diver who got his superhero costume by taking other heroes' discarded clothes.
Which is weird, because that implies that, like, Matt Murdock, when he was like, got this red suit, don't need this yellow one anymore. Or I guess for Matt Murdock, got this new suit, don't need my old one anymore. That he just threw it out, like, put it in the trash, as did Wolverine.
Yeah.
Wolverine was like, I gotta be patched now.
Yeah.
So Demolition Man's a groony, which is the term that Kyle Sarks introduced me to, for Mark Grunewald creations. So he's in there with Cap Wolf, who's Captain America as a werewolf.
He rules.
But, I mean, it's Steve Rogers. It's the same guy. He just was a werewolf one time. It was great.
Yeah.
He gives a speech to other werewolves, but like he's a werewolf at the time, so it's mostly growling and barking. It's the best. Diamondback is in there, Crossbones, and the Skeleton Crew.
That's right.
Do you know how long it took me to realize, I think I might have talked about this in the show before, do you know how long it took me to realize that Crossbones was the Red Skull's henchman because they're Skull and Crossbones? I was 34.
Well, you got there. At least you got there.
I got there. We all get there at our own pace.
That's right.
Demolition Man, I feel like people say they like Demolition Man and they don't.
You're talking about our friend Dylan Todd.
I'm talking about Dylan and Kyle, basically.
Who both really love D-Man.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about D-Man. There's so much going on with D-Man.
It's a lot.
Because D-Man... That's a line from the movie Rampage. So Chris just cracked himself up with that. Don't worry about him. D-Man was a very good athlete in school. But he wanted to do better. So he went to a local company called Power Broker Incorporated, who gave him powers as a transaction.
This is a thing that used to happen a lot in the Marvel Universe, because it was a very easy way to make new supervillains. If you could just go, yeah, there's a guy who makes supervillains.
But it definitely raises the question of why doesn't everybody do this?
Oh. You got Siri going now.
You got Siri going.
Yeah.
Why doesn't everybody go buy superpowers if a high school athlete can go buy superpowers?
Because the power broker exacts a terrible price.
Well, so basically the power broker gave D-Man these powers with drugs that he becomes addicted to.
Yes. Then he becomes a professional wrestler.
In Unlimited Class Wrestling Federation. Yeah.
Which is pro wrestling for people who can throw tanks.
The Thing was in it.
The Thing was in it.
Yeah.
It was Clobber in Time.
It sure was. So after he gets hooked on the drug, he's in the Wrestling Federation. He realizes, hey, I'm addicted to drugs. He and Captain America, who are pals, go and take...
How did he... I don't actually know how he met Captain America, other than I feel like, since it was a Mark Gruenwald story, Mark Gruenwald, one of the most underrated masters of comic books, wrote Captain America for 10 years. I feel like the story was just Captain America was walking down the street and met D-Man, and that's it.
There is a story where D-Man tells the Thing that he's addicted to power broker drugs, which I think gets him in with the rest of the superhero community.
Mm-hmm.
Gets him with some sympathy. They want to help him. So Captain America and D-Man go take down power broker.
Do you remember in the late 90s when D-Man used to go to Avengers Mansion and Jarvis would like give him bread, like a loaf of bread, and be like, here you go, D-Man. D-Man would be like, thanks, I'm going back to the Undercity.
Yeah.
That was weird.
I also remember in the Kurt Busiek, George Perez Avengers number one, the selling point of that issue, this was from 97?
That's Heroes Return. That's 98.
98. The selling point of that issue is that every Avenger's coming back. Every Avenger's appearing in this issue.
We're talking about Swordsman.
You know it's got Swordsman.
Tigra.
Tigra's there.
Silverclaw.
Black Knight.
Kind of hit my limit with Silverclaw, unfortunately.
They're all there, except for the ones who were canonically dead. So there's a very funny...
Beast.
Beast is there. There's a very funny scene in that issue where Spider-Man shows up. They're like, hey, Spider-Man, you were only an Avenger for a minute. You don't need to be part
reserves.
Of the team.
He's
like, okay, bye. And he just kind of walks out the door, and it's funny.
Yeah.
But there's another part in that issue that's supposed to be funny, where D-Man, who is homeless, sits in the middle of an auditorium, much like this one, and everybody else is sitting as far away from him as they possibly can, because he smells bad.
That's mean.
It's mean.
That's mean.
There's a lot of like stuff that...
It's certainly not charitable.
There's a lot of stuff about D-Man being homeless and addicted to drugs that I think are probably well-intentioned.
Certainly for the time.
But they do not fly.
They're weird.
They do not hold up.
Here's who he's not as good as. Adam X, the Extreme, the potential third Summers brother who can set your blood on fire. That's the best mutant power. And if someone asks you, hey, are you a person who wants to fly or turn invisible? You tell that person, I want the power to set your blood on fire. But only if you're already bleeding, so I have to cover myself in knives. And you know he vapes.
Are we playing a game of Do He Vape?
No, we're not playing Do He Vape. We're not playing Do He Vape. That's just a sidebar.
Hey, D-Man. Do He Vape?
Surprisingly, I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no, too, because I think he went cold turkey.
Yeah.
I don't think he does any substances.
He's not as good as Adam X. Below Adam X, we have the second Green Arrow, Connor Hawke, who had photographic reflexes that meant he was Green Arrow, but also really good at karate.
Right.
I don't know if he's that good.
Let's say no.
Okay, moving down the list. Lobster Johnson, a pulp pastiche from Hellboy.
I feel like...
Multiple Man, who can turn into an infinite number of things that are all the same thing.
Move on. He's not as good as Multiple Man.
Let's see. Black Mask, the Batman villain that everybody decided should be a big deal in like the mid-2000s. He wears a black mask. That was the end of the sentence.
He's a crime guy.
He's a crime guy.
Okay. I think D-Man is better than Black Mask.
Okay.
And here's my argument for that. Black Mask is just Red Skull, but he's a crime boss instead of in Hydra, and his mask is black instead of red. That's
yes.
pretty much it.
And much like the Red Skull, it stops being a mask at some point because his head gets all burnt up.
That's true.
Which happened to the Red Skull.
D-Man is a guy who wears Daredevil's old costume and Wolverine's old mask, but he makes it his own thing.
Yes.
That his own thing is weird and sometimes uncomfortable and kind of bad, but... He makes it his own thing, and I will say, whenever D-Man shows up in a story, my reaction is, oh shit, is that D-Man?
You say that out loud.
Yeah.
By yourself reading a comic book.
But he he's that kind of like character who shows up who engenders a little bit of excitement where it's like, where's this going?
Where's this going? Because you know it's not like, it's not going where you expect it when D-Man drops in.
Yeah. So I would say above Black Mask.
Okay. So he enters the list at number 264.
Demolition Man.
D-Man, Dennis Dunphy.
Existed before the Sylvester Stallone movie.
Talk about the movie with Simon Phoenix?
That fancy Taco Bell, baby.
What was Stallone's name in that? Because it's wild. It's not John Matrix. That's Arnold in Commando.
Yeah.
Matrix. They expected us to believe that was a man's name in the movie Commando, which is fantastic.
Chris, we got to keep... We have one more person to rank, and we got to finish.
Okay, all right. I'll stop talking about Simon Phoenix.
That person is... also named Simon. He's Wonder Man.
I fucking hate Wonder Man. I hate him.
I know you do.
I hate him. I have no reason for it. You just see a guy who's in the Avengers and he wears a dumb jacket and his name is stupid and his face is stupid and you just don't like him. And also his brother's the Grim Reaper. Not the actual Grim Reaper, but a dude just named the Grim Reaper.
The supervillain, the Grim Reaper.
Yeah. I hate him.
Simon Williams.
He's the Beast's best friend, and I don't know why. Beast knows like 26 cooler dudes than this guy by the time he meets him. Cyclops is cooler than this guy.
If you don't know Wonder Man, you don't know his deal. Here's his deal. He's an actor. He's got energy powers. He wears big W's on his shirts. Sometimes he wears a big red jacket. Energy powers aside, he's Johnny Cage from Mortal Kombat if he was in the Avengers.
Yeah.
And he doesn't punch people in the dick.
This is where you fall down. That's the movie Mortal Kombat. Okay, we can do this real quick. The list has 344 characters on it. At number 334, we have John Arbuckle, previously mentioned the owner of Garfield the Cat. Wonder Man, better or worse?
Better.
Are you sure? Because I... effing hate him.
I will read a full-length comic with Wonder Man in it. If you handed me a full-length comic about John Arbuckle, I would burn it in front of you.
What about that extremely good fan comic about John Arbuckle?
Still no.
Not Canonical John, but okay. Let's see. Right above John Arbuckle, we have Access from the DC versus Marvel crossover.
Better than Access.
Who weirdly had a receding hairline, even though he was supposed to be like 20. Jericho, Joseph Wilson, Deathstroke's Terminator's kid.
Better. I hate Jericho.
I don't hate him as much as I hate Wonder Man, though. Hank Hall, a.k.a. Monarch, a.k.a. Hawk.
Better than him.
Roy Harper, Arsenal, Green Arrow sidekick.
I like Wonder Man a little more than Arsenal.
Number 329, Nurmal the Cat.
Don't get me started on Nurmal.
Number 328, the Ten-Eyed Man. He's a man with 10 eyes.
Better than Ten-Eyed Man.
On his fingertips.
Ten-Eyed
Man
sucks.
Corners.
Ten-Eyed Man super sucks.
Let's see. What about Cyborg Superman? Hank Henshaw.
He sucks.
A cyborg who looks like Superman.
He super sucks.
He's better than Wonder Man.
Are you for real?
I am for real.
All right, if that's where... If you cannot go any higher than that, then put him right below Cyborg Superman.
So above the Clue Master? The shitty Riddler?
The Shitler?
No. No. Absolutely fucking not.
Trademark copyright War Rock
no,
and Ajax
no,
do not steal.
No, no. Creative Commons. That is no ownership claimed. No rights reserved. I can see the gears turning, Matt.
Can you put him above Clue Master? Or must you put him below Clue Master?
I can put him above Clue Master.
Then do it.
Okay, Simon Williams.
Because I like Wonder Man more than you. I don't love him, but I don't hate him.
I think he's straight garbage.
I think he's just boring.
I cannot justify this opinion. I looked at him, and I was like, fuck that guy. Which happens sometimes.
I think it's the super weirdest thing on Earth that the Avengers had a robot that was like an empty shell. And they were like, we could put anybody's personality in this robot.
And they picked a guy with no personality?
And they picked the most boring guy on the planet.
And it made
Earth.
A robot who cries.
It sure did.
So Wonder Man Enters
the
List
Vision,
325. That's the Vision. That's it. That's all we're going to do today.
Thank you to everybody who sent in those lists. We greatly appreciate it.
We talked about doing the Jackal.
He's on one of the lists I had, but we ran out of time.
So we'll be doing the Jackal soon.
Well, that's from not a line stepper list.
I want to do the Jackal.
We'll do the Jackal eventually. The Jackal
sucks.
The Jackal is responsible for the Clone Saga, if you know about Spider-Man stuff. Okay, if you would like to send us a list for this segment, Panel President, or our Every Story Ever segment, or if you want us to read a question on the show, you can do that at our email address, which is warrocketpodcast@gmail.com. Also, you can send us listener questions on our Tumblr, which is warrocketpodcast.tumblr.com. Check out our website, which is warrocketajax.com. That is where you can stream the show, download the show, read show notes, and leave comments. One last thing. If you like the show, go over to Apple Podcasts or whatever podcasting app you use.
Smash that like and subscribe.
Smash those 5 stars. Leave us a review. We would greatly appreciate that. Now we've reached the part of the show where, Chris, we tell everybody where you can find us online and find our other projects, our other podcasts, the stuff we write, all that stuff. For me, all you have to do is go to my website, mattdwilson.net, which has links to everything I do, the comics I write, the books I have written, my other podcasts, and all my social medias. They are all there. Chris, where can people find your stuff?
People can find me by going to the-isb.com. That has links to everything. We do a bunch of other podcasts as well. We do one together where we watch movies and one together where we eat snacks. Very original concepts. No one else is doing these in the world of podcasts. Matt, you do a podcast about pro wrestling?
I do.
You do a podcast about whether or not you believe in ghosts?
I do. I don't.
You don't. I do a podcast about Sailor Moon.
You do?
I do a podcast about Xena Warrior Princess.
That you do.
I do a podcast that is like those podcasts, but for the Bible.
You read the Bible and
we
talk about it.
We read the Bible and talk about it.
Episode by episode.
Episode by episode. Every episode of the Bible. All 66 of them. Yeah. Plus the Apocrypha.
That's right. Before we wrap up, we have one last thing that we have to address, and that is whether this episode of War Rocket Ajax was high-quality content, HQC.
Mm-hmm.
If you thought this episode was HQC... please applaud now. The people have spoken. It's HQC.
Bye, everybody. We love you.